Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
What's up, everybody? We are back with the Robcast Podcast, episode number 9. How you doing, Mr. Rob Rucha?
I'm doing good. I'm just happy to be making podcasts in studio.
Yes.
And, you know, keeping in time with the last episode that we had with Elias and talking about the craziness that's been going on and the racial tension and actual release of racial tension that's going on right now. Who do we have today?
We have AJ Channer from Fire from the Gods, and it's going to be a good one. I'm excited.
He's definitely, I'm sure, you know, going to open up his mind as we've had Elias do. And, you know, we're going to keep focused on what's hitting not only the world, but especially in the music community. And, you know, racial diversity is so widespread throughout the music community. I'm sure we can have a lot more conversations about this, and that's what needs to happen. You know, is more conversation, more dialogue, less silence. And I hope that, you know, I mean, I know you feel the same way because we've talked about where we're taking this next, you know, a few episodes, who knows? I mean, hopefully this can be solved in our lifetime. And we hope that by, you know, uniting on a musician front, that this might actually take a stand and people might see it the way that all the fans see it. Because I know that if you're a fan of the band, you're colorblind. You know, you don't care about the color, the race, the creed, the religion, unless that's why you're there to see the band, if they're a religious band. But I don't think that most music fans, if you're going to see a band, you don't care what color they are. You like the band.
Exactly. The music should do all the talking always.
And I mean, Nonpoint being such a wide racial diverse band, I mean, you've got Eastern European, you've got Black, you've got Hispanic, you've got, you know, all the different races and colors and creeds, but you guys are a brotherhood that I've never seen, you know, like, and all the fans are seemingly that way too. And I know you probably have some places that, you know, like Elias has said, he's had things happen, and, you know, we'll find out from AJ as well. So let's get him on this Facebook Messenger, which hopefully is going to work clearly. I'm not sure because it's so far been the noisiest.
Yeah, so if we have some difficulties, we apologize.
So, yeah, here we go.
Look at that.
Rob, what's up?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you been, man?
Well, considering the situation we have in this country, I guess I'm doing pretty good.
I feel you.
As best as I can be, thank you so much for taking time out. What have you been doing during the pandemic? How have you been dealing with this? And what have you been doing on your downtime right now?
You know, well, it started off like, you know, I think like a lot of people, I was real optimistic, you know, especially as a band dude, you know, like yourself. I saw it as, okay, it's a little time off. All right, whatever, month, 2 months, a little time off. By the time, by the time we get through this and we see the worst of what COVID-19 has to offer, we'll be right back and bouncing right back. And that was the mood. So, you know, I was very motivated. You know, I was getting up on time, getting up earlier, spending the time with the kids, spending time with the lady. You know, really trying to be productive. And then as it went on and on and on, you know, I just started getting a little less optimistic, started getting a little bit more lethargic, started not moving around as much. And now I'm just like, whatever, you know, because it's like I've been trying to do things that could be very productive for Fire from the Gods. You know, I've had this Tales from the Quarantine going on every Friday. And it's been great, but you know, my mind is getting I'm getting a little worn out, and I'm starting to get a little worried, so to speak. You know, I'm still maintaining composure, but I'm like, damn, when's touring gonna come back? You know, we just put out a record, so you know, the momentum hasn't slowed down, which it looks like it hasn't, but at the same time, there's nothing compares to going out there and touring on a record cycle. There's nothing compares, you know? So I've been a little hesitant now to be super optimistic about what the future holds.
Yeah. I mean, myself, I mean, I've, you know, once this thing came to light, like I thought the worst, you know, I was a little opposite of you because I had never seen it. I'm 50 years old, you know, and I have never seen anything like this in my life, you know. So
for sure.
I was,
for
you know, sure. We had other, you know, stuff like SARS and the swine flu and stuff like that, but the country didn't shut
Ebola,
down.
West Nile, nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nothing
they,
shut down.
They made those things sound a lot scarier than this.
Yeah, and nothing shut down. And when I found out, like, you know, I have friends in the restaurant business. I have friends that run different things. I mean, everybody has been affected so badly about this. And I'm like, oh my God, like, and I'm like you, like, at first I was like, you know, when are we going to tour? Then I saw one tour getting canceled, 5 tours getting canceled, 20 tours getting canceled. I was like, oh my God, this is no joke.
This is just another part of, like, the grain of salt, the way you kind of take everything else in life and just work through it, because it's seasonal, right? Things, this too shall pass. So yeah. I'm just like, you know, I'm trying to get, you know, just being in the gym, working out, touching on what else is going on in the country. I went to Minneapolis and I was able to really get a perspective on what's happening there. Then I just came back from Atlanta and I was able to get a perspective from Atlanta because the sweeping change that's happening in the country and in the world at the moment, you know, I think this is an opportunity to really grasp life by the balls, really grasp the power and, you know, individually and say that, you know, I'm going to stand up and do something this time. I'm not going to sit around and just wait for something to happen. Because you never know when something's going to end up on your doorstep. So I'm just like, get involved and do something.
I totally agree. I mean, and seeing that everything that's going around right now, especially with, you know, and now the riots have calmed down from what I've seen, a lot more peaceful protests, thankfully. And I wanted to get your perspective on this situation. I had Elias on the show on the last episode, last two episodes actually, and he has experienced right. racism firsthand and pretty much experienced it his whole life, and he gave a very heartfelt explanation and about the situation. He said, "You know what? I can't not talk about this. Like, I'm tired of being quiet." He's in a biracial relationship, and he has definitely, you know, been through a lot of like hateful things, people calling him racial slurs and stuff like that.
Of course.
So how do you feel about this situation? I wanted to get this, one of the reasons I want to bring you on the show. So
the beauty of what's happening here is that change is inevitable, and this sort of situation was inevitable. The other side of it, like you saying, what happens to Elias, which happens to so many people in this country and has happened to so many people over time, you know, by the racial slurs and the nasty looks and the way people might address him, or, you know, people have this idea that's the only form of racism that exists. They think that if I'm not walking around calling people niggers and spicks, I'm not a racist. But the fact is that institutionalized systemic racism is pervasive, and it is so intertwined and entrenched in every facet of American life that it's very hard at times. It's very easy to miss at times, and it's also very unavoidable. And especially when you have darker skin, when you have, like Elias, he's a dreadhead, so a man is walking around with the locks, you know, as a rock dude, you know what I'm saying? Because maybe your complexion's a little lighter, but when it comes to us in the rock scene, you've heard the comments. You hear the white dudes say the nasty shit. You hear the little sneak dissing every time. You know, that's part of the problem. It's a little casual racism like that. And because it doesn't affect certain people And it doesn't, they don't see the damage that it causes other people. They just continue doing it because it's so ingrained in their life. They've been, that's what they've been taught. So we as a nation specifically, and not the world, the world is a different story, but it's all intertwined because we're all humans and we occupy this, this land called Earth, this planet. But here in this country, we have to unlearn and relearn how to respect people, how to respect people based on the merits of their actions and not by the color of their skin. And we have to be able to teach our children that a better nation, a better world based on unity, based on peace, based on ideals and the right ideals. And the fact of the riots and the fact of the protesting and the peaceful demonstrations, this is the world and this is the populace saying that we've had enough. We're done with it. And, you know, one thing, one way is, I like to put it is, there is a generation of Americans right now that have grown up with only seeing police brutality on television. They've seen it through every medium of the media, every way you can view a video or view some sort of snippet of something these days. Children have seen people of color be disrespected, be demonized, be violated, be brutalized by law enforcement, by the politicians, by the media. And what does that teach them? What are they going to, how are they going to grow up in a world where, you know, they're going to go to school and the world doesn't look like the way the world is portrayed, the world that they're going to see through their own eyes. And that's going to create a dynamic, and that's going to create a situation where they go home and their parents, you know, still have that poor learning and that poor education and that poor way of speaking to each other. And they're going home and they're hearing their parents talk a certain way, but they go to school and they're going to school with a black kid. They go to school with a Hispanic kid. They're going to school with an Asian kid. They're going to school with people of all different walks of life, and they're being taught these songs about how everyone is equal under the eyes of the law and everyone is equal under the sun. But then they're being taught by the media that black people, black men are thugs and Mexican are drug dealers. And you know, there's still people in this country that believe Puerto Rico is some sort of unheard of territory.
I agree there, because I agree. I'm Puerto Rican. I live there. So
exactly. That's why I brought it up. You know, that because you could relate to that. You'd understand that that's the sort of ignorance we're dealing with. And just because someone speaks a different language, or someone has a different creed or a different religion, we have this defense mechanism that's been ingrained in us due to the media, due to the way politicians politicize race in this country and politicize the differences instead of politicizing what the things that make us united, that keep us together and keep us that keep us from tearing each other apart. They don't politicize those things. They politicize the things that make us different because they want to create tribes. So we're dealing with years upon years of ignorance, and we have to fight against that and unlearn it, but we have to fight it in a way that's going to make sense. We have to have an educated, we have to have a civilized conversation about race in America, and it's about time we face our demons.
I agree completely, and I like the part where you said, you know, what we teach our children, because no one is born a racist.
Of course.
Nobody is born that way. It is up to us. Like, I'm a parent, and I definitely, you know, Mia and their mom will definitely teach these kids right. And, you know, like you said, everyone's equal under the eyes of God. You know, like, I'm Puerto Rican and my dad married a white woman, and I dealt with racism my entire life until my mom passed, unfortunately. And it was 18 years of having to deal with my dad's side of the family not liking me because I was white, and my mom's side of the family not liking me because I was Puerto Rican. So I had to deal with that.
Of course.
You know, and then my dad, we lived in Ohio, which is the most non-Puerto Rican state you could probably even think of. And
right.
my dad, you know, he had a heavy, thick accent. So he was made fun of constantly just because of his accent. They didn't even realize they wanted.
How do you justify that?
Exactly.
How is that supposed to be justified? You know, it's born out of pure ignorance. And the fact that people can sit there and live in their ignorance and feel superior, that's even more dangerous, because it sets a precedent and it sets the platform for more fucked up shit to happen. Because if you don't have enough in yourself to respect someone based on the way they speak and disrespect them based on the way they speak or based on their skin tone, you will have no respect. You are basically denying that person their humanity. You're basically saying that your life doesn't matter, that your humanity doesn't matter. And once you start viewing people as non-human, then you'll never ever respect them. And that's what our kids are being taught on a daily basis through the ignorance of the media, the ignorance of racism. And so it's very important that we stand up and we say something, because we've had enough. Our parents went through this. Our grandparents went through this. There's no reason our kids should have to go through it.
We're in 2020. You figure that people would figure it out.
Yeah, there's no place in the modern world for ignorance of that magnitude and ignorance of that nature. A lot of people don't know a lot of things. I just need you to understand that respecting someone's skin, respecting someone's life, is you'll get the same in return. And a better you creates a better community, and a better community creates a better nation. A better nation creates a better world. But it starts with you.
I completely agree, and I really appreciate your honesty and being so open about this. I mean, I think we need more people to speak out. And I think with like Elias last week, when he 2 weeks ago, sorry, then when he spoke out. I mean, you guys have very similar views, and it's just nice to, like you said, people are tired of it. They're over it. You know, we need to move forward. Try to find, you know, the common ground there where people can get along. You know, as I put up a tweet the other day, it's like the easiest thing to do is to be kind and love one another. And a lot of people do not practice.
Exactly.
That, unfortunately. They do not practice.
And it's not that hard. It's not that hard to hold your tongue and be like, okay, I'm not going to disrespect this guy right here. I'm going to take a second to breathe and say, okay, how can I rectify this situation? How can I work this out? How can we work this out? But everyone wants to go immediately. They want to go and dig deep. Excuse me, they don't even have to dig deep. They just go for the first thing that comes to their mind and their emotions. And, you know, it's like, they just want to come back with the rah-rah shit instead of actually talking to someone and using, you know, just when they say use your words, when you tell your child, use your words. It's the same thing applies to adulthood. The same thing applies to every situation that you get in with your life. Just be a decent person. Don't be a piece of shit. Don't make fun of George Floyd, you know, getting killed and using that as a way, you know, that like there we are on the verge in this country. We are on the verge of a humanitarian crisis. There are people there. When a guy is getting arrested for using a fake $20 bill, how the fuck did he die? And as a police officer, why do people of color, why do even citizens all over the country, why do you have to get into a situation with a police officer and think, oh shit, I might die today? It's insane. That is a humanitarian crisis if I haven't seen one in my life. And the fact is that narrative doesn't mean the same to a lot of people, because there's a lot of people in America that are oblivious to this, and they think that it's just some sort of, you know, they think it's just some sort of like myth, like, oh, that, you know, that's a black problem. It's not a black problem. It is an American problem. We have to solve this. And we have to solve this as a country. We need everyone to come to the table, white and black, to sit down and be like, yo, this is what it is, man. And we got to work this shit out. Not standing on the picket lines. Feel me?
I agree 100%, man. That's like, you've nailed it pretty much. I knew you were going to come strong with this, and I really appreciate it. Like I said, being open about it.
Yes, my brother. Our scene is very mixed, which is great, but the scene is dominated by mostly white people because for some reason or another, metal has become, and rock music, alternative music, became like a white subculture. It's which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is, it's like hip hop. There's nothing wrong with a white dude rapping. I mean, especially white dudes from the United States that grew up in the 90s, where all they heard was hip hop.
Yeah.
When they looked around, they looked on TV, there was hip hop. So that influences them. Just because they're not from the hood, or they haven't sold drugs, or they're not calling women bitches or they're not, you know, they're coming at it a certain way from a different angle, that doesn't mean they're not allowed to be rappers.
Yeah, one word. That doesn't mean. I got one word, Eminem.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, Eminem came real strong, and Eminem has never really disrespected anybody. You fuck with M, then he's disrespecting you.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, M never came out and was like, yo, I'm about to take over the game, and, you know, because I'm white, I'm supposed to be here, or because I'm white, I'm looked at and picked on. Nah, he really had some very strong statements that he made, and he portrayed that through his art, and he did his thing. And I think that's why a lot of people don't really disrespect him on that fact. And when you hear,
and you got to realize too who he was discovered by.
Exactly.
You know,
he was brought into the game by the gatekeepers of hip hop.
Yeah.
By the gurus of hip hop. So people disrespecting guys like him, people disrespecting guys like Mac Miller and all these dudes because they're white. Like, that's more of the same bullshit that we have had to deal with. And, you know, being a black guy that fronts a rock band, you know, I know it's hard. You know, there are nights when I go up there on stage and I'm playing in Bloomfield, Indiana. I keep talking about Bloomfield, Indiana for some reason these days, but you know what I'm saying?
I've never even heard of that town.
or Bloomington, excuse me, it's Bloomington. Yeah. Or Sioux City, Iowa, where there aren't a lot of black people. So there aren't that many black people coming to the shows. And the 95% of the crowd are white people. I know that there's a percentage of the crowd that's like, what is this nigger doing up there? Because I've dealt with it and I've heard it. And I've heard it. I've had it said to me. I've had it be said to me by a third party. I've had it. I've overheard people say things like that. But I know in myself that I'm confident enough to go out there and just rock it just as good as any other white dude and have to say my shit. You know what I mean? I'm out there talking my shit, and that's what it's about, fam. You can't go into these situations feeling like, oh man, I'm nervous or I'm scared. You know what I'm saying? Because racism is evil, and evil can smell the fear, and evil feeds on fear. And if we're afraid of each other, we're going to continue to commit the same sort of evil acts that we've been committing to on each other for years because of fucking fear. And fear cannot be the driving force to which we live our life. Fear cannot be the platform to which we stand on or to which we come and present ourselves.
I completely agree. And AJ, dude, thank you so much. Very heartfelt and very open and honest. I love it. Thank you for coming on to the show. And I hope to see you out there.
Yes, my brother.
I hope to see you out there on tour. We need a Fire from the Gods non-point tour.
Yeah, man. We got to do a non-point thing, man. We got to make it happen, bro.
I agree. Tell Mr. Zoltan to get it together, man, to get it with us.
I will, my brother.
All right, you God bless. Love you, my man. You take care, bro.
Yo, you stay up, bro, all right? Take care.
Yep.
All right, peace out, brother.
Later, man.
Later.
Just as I expected.
Yeah.
An incredible conversation. I loved his openness and how he didn't hold back in any way, shape, or form.
100% hit the nail on the head with, you know, about fear and about upbringing and teaching. And, I mean, we've talked about this on the side besides being on the podcast the last couple episodes. And, you know, it's really time for this to be done. I mean, how many hundreds of years can we go? And I know it's deep and, you know, from both sides, and it needs to be dug up and put to rest. And people like AJ and people like Elias and yourself and myself and, you know, everybody that's got an open mind to it, I think this is where it starts, you know, and I hope people enjoyed hearing what he had to say. And, you know, if people have some issues with, you know, the way that people are, you know, judged based on their color or whatever, then, you know, let us know. And hopefully, you know, we can all make a change together.
I'm hoping. I mean, it's been way too many years, and it's sad that in 2020 we've had to experience what has, I could not even fathom that even happening again.
Well, and it's predominantly in our country. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't hear about that much racial injustice going on in England and or, you know, in Europe, or, I mean, maybe because of slavery being an American-based thing. And that's just with African-Americans. I'm talking America is such a melting pot to begin with. And the only reason we exist as a country is because other countries came. You know, like my relatives came from Italy. Your relatives were Puerto Rican and wherever. Where did your mom come from?
Germany.
So, yeah, Eastern European and, yeah. And, you know, the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
So without all these other countries coming here, we wouldn't exist. So why is it such a problem to have all these people in one place when they can exist and coexist peacefully in other places? You know, I mean, it seems maybe I'm not exposed to it as much. Maybe it does exist like that, but I don't see any looting going on in Canada right now, and I don't see any Mountie police running over any color or person with their horse.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I'm sure we'd hear about that, and there would be some sort of political unrest or whatever's happening right now in our country.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, AJ, he hit the nail.
He threw
correctly.
It down, man. Yeah.
He threw it down. He spoke out, and I appreciate it. I love the guy. And thank you guys for listening to this episode. We will have more coming up, and God bless everyone. You guys take care.
Peace.
We want to thank all of you for listening to the Robcast Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on all future episodes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. And feel free to send us any comments, suggestions, guest ideas, topics, whatever. That is robcastpodcast@gmail.com. Remember that the Rob has two B's. Enjoy your day.